From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hey, everybody. This is the Francesca Luca Show. I'm Francesca, where honesty isn't optional and sugarcoating is strictly off the menu. Whether it's life, love, or everything in between, we're serving it up straight with a side of wit, of course. All right, have you heard about my new show? Well, actually, it's not that new anymore. It's been, I think, 3-4 months now. But every Wednesday morning on the South Shore News, I join Beth and Rob in a show in a segment called Love Bites. Can't decide whether to break up or make up? Then you're going to want to join me on my Love Bites segment, again, every Wednesday at 9:10 a.m., where I dive into your toughest love dilemmas and explore real solutions, from communication breakdowns to trust issues. We tackle the hard questions together to help navigate love's up and downs. And you can send your questions in to the text line at 781-837-4900, or you can also email me at info@talkwithfrancesca.com. You can also go to my website. I have a contact form there, and you just click on Ask Me Anything. All right, enough housekeeping. So this morning's question was, there was a woman who is actually, her relationship's going pretty well, but she feels like her boyfriend is a little bit clingy, and she's starting to be concerned about whether or not he has some fear of abandonment issues. So we tackled that question again this morning, but there's a lot more to talk about. And so joined with me tonight via telephone is Sarah Devine. She is a seasoned social worker with nearly 3 decades of experience supporting people through trauma, loss, and relationship challenges. So we're very lucky to have her with us tonight. She recently earned her master's in social work, and she currently works at a nonprofit. We're preparing to launch her own mobile counseling service. Isn't that cool? Hey, hop in. Talk to me about your problems. I like that. Her career includes work with Dove, Inc., which is an organization dedicated to supporting survivors of domestic and relational abuse. And we actually just recently did a fundraiser for the South Shore's Most Eligible Bachelor and Bachelorette contest. And Sarah from Dove was one of the judges. So I grabbed her to talk about this question tonight. And just want to let you know that her perspective is deeply rooted in compassion, trauma awareness, and practical healing. All right, big welcome to you, Sarah. Thanks for joining us tonight. So good to have you with us.
Thanks. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's just start with what exactly, because I think a lot of people, you know, I mean, I know what it is. You know what it is. To a lot of people, they're like, oh, yeah, of course. But there's probably a slew of people out there that have, like, zero idea what the actual fear of abandonment is. And part B of that question would be, obviously, how does it typically show up in relationships? So let's talk about what is it first.
So, I mean, your feelings of abandonment can come from a lot of things. Obviously, childhood experiences could be number one.
Yeah.
Also, just parents who are kind of unavailable emotionally, you know, either during times of divorce or separation or other things that might be going on at home. Genetics and brain chemistry can influence feelings of abandonment somewhat.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, not, you know, I think the things you experience have a lot more impact, like unmet needs, and people who actually do leave and abandon people obviously can lead people to feelings of abandonment later in life. But sometimes it can come up from childhood experiences that people might not even remember consciously, but their body remembers it. So if something feels like abandonment, they'll react as if it is, even if it isn't.
I was going to mention that somatically, right, it can show up. As a matter of fact, I interviewed, what the heck is his name? Something Vanderkolk, The Body Keeps the Score. What's the guy? You know who I'm talking about, I'm sure. Right?
Yes, that's one book, yep.
Yeah. And so in some ways I'm sure that it would show up is with stomach aches and headaches and any kind of, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Exactly. You always have kind of, signs. If someone has abandonment issues, there's all kinds of ways it could show up physically, most definitely. Neediness, clinginess, separation anxiety, sensitivity, definitely those things you mentioned, stomach aches and things. But I think in relationships, specifically, it could be like being overly eager to please, being jealous, insecure, difficulty getting intimate. Sometimes people can try to control their partner if they're afraid of being abandoned by that person.
Oh, really? So I would think it would be just the opposite. They would be using intimacy as a way to keep them in it.
Absolutely. So, if someone's really worried someone's going to abandon them, they're going to try to control them. They're going to want to know where they are. They're going to want to know what they're doing. It can be really easy to kind of feed into that in the beginning of a relationship when it seems like someone's just really invested and they really care. Right. But it can actually become very unhealthy.
Right. And what I had mentioned this morning that I thought was like, because the question didn't, the person who wrote the question didn't really sound like she was having a big problem with her guy. That it was going fairly well. And what I mentioned this morning, as I said, is that the times that it really starts to show up in a relationship, I think, is, first of all, as a relationship, goes on longer and longer, but when there are big changes, like all of a sudden, maybe the person has more responsibility at work, or, and they're doing a lot more, and or maybe they have a different boss, and they need to really prove their value at work, or maybe this couple got married, and now I have a friend who, she was, this is a long, long time ago, but she was with this guy, and they had a great relationship. But the second she had her baby, it was like he just flipped a switch, and he did not want any part of that child at all. And his history was that at just 7 years old, his mom got struck by a train and boom, was just gone. So it was really she could see where, she knew where it came from. She's a very insightful woman. And so she tried to do everything to validate his feelings, make him feel more comfortable. But in the end, she did finally make the choice to leave her husband because it was really affecting the daughter. Sadly, very sadly, though, the damage was already done with this young woman at this point, and her daughter ended up dying by suicide. So it was tragic. So it was tragic. But so, what I'm saying is this couple had just really a fairy tale relationship until they got married and she had a baby, and then all bets were off. It's like he literally hated that child. It was like she was his mother and he was not going to let her go, couldn't let her out of his sight. So I think that is something that, so when there are big changes like that, right, that can definitely, right?
And a lot of times people aren't even expecting those emotional reactions, so they might not even understand where it's coming from in themselves. So, of course, with an extreme example like that, you can see how important it is to really kind of become introspective and really look at your own why. If you're having a drastic emotional reaction like that to something that's usually a really very positive life event, you might really want to dive deep and kind of look at why and figure out where that came from and kind of might have to go backwards a little to deal with those old feelings and resolve it before you can move forward. But it definitely, insecurity like that is definitely.
I say this plenty, and I just kind of maintain this thought process, and maybe one day I'll wake up and say, oh no, that's not true. But I often feel that, and I know that coming from where you come from and helping to process trauma, I mean, how does one ever really do that? I mean, especially if it's happened at such a young age that the child just can't even process that loss, but then it gets programmed into their their brain, and then every time they see something that even slightly reminds them of loss, they just kind of go off. How do you get from that point to actually working it through? Is that really truly possible, or does that person really deep down inside always have that wound forever?
The person will definitely always have the wound, but what can definitely happen, they can definitely heal from that wound, and it can not be such an open wound in their life anymore. Mm. And I think the biggest step in that is recognizing where those feelings come from. So when something happens and you have these kind of thoughts that pop into your head that are automatic, like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not going to be a good enough father, or I can't take care of this child, whatever thoughts were popping into that person's mind that caused him to then behave in a way that seemed like he hated his child, it's kind of identifying how those thoughts cause certain behavior and then how that affects everything else. And the first step in all of that is to recognize it, but then to realize that you can actually take control of it yourself. You know, it doesn't have to control you. If you have depression, anxiety, clinginess, you know, fears of abandonment, you can take those issues and you can kind of make them separate from yourself. You can say, this is my anxiety. It's part of me, but it doesn't run my life. I can control my own anxiety. It's definitely a clinical process that is best handled in counseling with a professional. And it's often done through cognitive behavioral therapy, which is very powerful and gives people a lot of a feeling of self-control over their own emotional reactions.
Abandonment. It's not just about needing reassurance, listeners. It's the kind of fear that whispers they're going to leave. Everyone does. It can show up, as Sarah has said, with clinginess, anxiety, people-pleasing, or with some, a total emotional shutdown. I'm talking to Sarah Devine tonight. We are going to take, and she's helping us parse through this question that I got this morning on Love Bites. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, more to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Tired of looking tired? Noticing the signs of aging? Fine lines, dull skin, or lost volume getting you down? Aliette Aesthetics will help you turn back the clock naturally. Whether it's a lifting and tightening, PDO thread treatment, wrinkle-smoothing neurotoxins, or collagen-boosting PRP therapy, Aliette Aesthetics has the treatments to restore your youthful glow. As someone who's been in your shoes, I trusted Aliette Aesthetics to refresh my look, and now it's your turn. Rediscover radiant, youthful skin, because you deserve to look as vibrant as you feel. Visit Aliette Aesthetics today and start your journey to the best version of you.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit HandymanConnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back and have a very special guest, Sarah Devine. She is a seasoned social worker with nearly 3 decades of experience supporting people through trauma, loss, and relationship challenges. We are tackling the fear of abandonment, which was the question on Love Bites this morning. A woman wrote in. She has a fairly decent relationship with her boyfriend. She feels he's a little clingy. She's a little concerned that maybe he has a fear of abandonment. And so we are talking tonight about what that is, some signs, and maybe some ways to deal with it. Welcome back, Sarah.
Hi, thank you.
All right. So are there signs that people can miss, right? So things that they don't don't look like fear at a first glance.
Most definitely. So if, you know, someone is seeming really insecure, some things you might not see. If someone has trouble trusting others or has anxiety when they're separating, if they're really sensitive to, you know, criticism or rejection, or if they have kind of a lack of boundaries, those can really, if you need a constant need for reassurance, that might be a little more obvious. But, you know, some things people see as someone really being excited about a new relationship can actually turn out to be kind of red flags.
What do you mean?
You know, if someone's really seeming to want to talk to you every day or know you are or what you're doing, you know.
I know. It's it can be very exciting. It can also be very confusing, right? You know, the person is just, it's like a whirlwind. The person's sweeping you off your feet, and, you know, there's just like this intense chemistry. And, you know, in a matter of three dates, it's like, whew, we're off to the races. And, but that can be a red flag, right?
Right. And then a lot of times, too, people are putting, you know, of course, people are always putting their best foot forward in the beginning while they're getting to know someone and see if they feel like it's someone they could open up more about their own vulnerabilities and insecurities. So, I mean, I think if people want advice about how to support someone who they feel might be insecure or is afraid of abandonment, there's definitely ways that, you know, to do that within a relationship without, you know, kind of enabling it to become more unhealthy.
Right. How can someone tell the difference, though, between, like, genuine emotional closeness and sort of that anxious attachment, if you will?
It can be hard at first, but it's more, if, you know, if you say that you're not going to be able to respond and you're going to be somewhere and, you know, you're still having someone who's getting upset about that or really insisting on knowing where you are and what you're doing all the time, you know, that's really just a red flag. And a lot of times people will miss that in the beginning because they're really excited to get to know people and to know where they are and what they're doing with their day. So it might seem like interest when it could actually be sort of something that could end up a controlling behavior.
Right. You know, the other one that comes to mind is the super people pleaser. Right, that person who wants to do everything for you—they just seem like the most wonderful person in the world. You know, I kind of like if I meet someone, like a friend. You know, I make a new friend, and they seem to be just sort of like. I remember there was this one time, I had met someone, and this was back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we became friendly. I was buying a home, and she was helping me with some things, you know, decorating and whatnot, and. But it was just a really weird kind of feeling. I felt like it was just this, it just had a creepiness to it. It just felt like, what? You know, it was
really
just...
important to trust those feelings.
That's the only word that I can come up with is creepy. It just had like a weird vibe to it. Like, why is she acting like so lovey-dovey and like I'm just a goddess and whatever? And, you know, when it ended up coming out that she hadn't been married once, she hadn't been married twice, she hadn't been married three times, she'd been married 4 times, you know, and I'm not judging, but I'm judging, right? So, you know, I'm not judging, but I certainly, when she told me that, it made me certainly sit up and take notice, you know, like, oh, that's kind of strange. And then she started to date someone, and there was this anxiety around him not calling, and I started to, you know, I didn't exactly know maybe what it was called, but I knew it was something that wasn't really healthy. So which leads me back to, as it turned out, I mean, she was seeing someone to talk about these feelings and had been for many years, but really didn't sound like there was much change, or who knows the way it was before. But I just didn't feel comfortable over a period of time. I started feeling really like this didn't feel right to me. And it's not because I can't, it wouldn't matter if it was a girlfriend or whether it was a man. I feel that if someone is looking for validation through an external source, i.e. another person, that kind of worries me. I mean, we live in relation to one another, right? Of course. But, and you know, I mean, let's face it, if someone says something to you and it can kind of ruin your day or say something to you that can really make you feel great, that's all fine and well. But when it goes to the extreme where they're really affected, that just to me seems like, because you've got to be able to self-soothe, you've got to be able to be your own person and say, I'm okay the way I am, right?
Absolutely. I always say you have to kind of fall in love with yourself before someone else can really fall in love with you. You know, and being insecure is really going to kill any relationship you have, whether it's a friendship or otherwise. And, you know, kind of externally blaming or externally expecting others to create your happiness or your overall well-being or your feelings of self-worth is always going to feel like a failure and just continuously repeat that pattern until people kind of get to a point where they can figure out that they have to kind of work on that themselves. Their friends and their dating partners can be there for them and support them and, you know, help them, but no one can do that for anybody else.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. You mentioned that, you know, insecurity can be like a relationship killer. Did I hear you say that? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So, but everyone has insecurities, right? So,
of course.
Right. So how do you parse that out so that you know, how do you, I mean, can it, like I said,
I can give you an example.
Yeah, please,
so the to kind of recognize what is, that these are your own insecurities. So, you know, I was dating a gentleman a few years ago, and he was a person who was in the recovery community, and there was another person who, another woman, who lived literally on the way to one of the recovery meetings that they went to quite often, and he would pick her up. You know, she was obviously a little younger than me, what I would say was maybe more attractive, and so my insecurity started to kind of kick in. And there was nothing about him or his behavior towards me or with her. I had met her, she'd been to our house, you know, that would lead me to believe that there was anything going on. It was purely my insecurity. But if I didn't recognize that and work myself through my insecurity and instead started accusing him or questioning him of why he was picking her up and what they were doing, that would just tell him that I don't trust him and that we have issues in our relationship that, you know, would cause problems. And, but I recognized that as my own insecurity. And I did share it with him and say, you know, this is my own insecurity. I just want to share this with you. But I've already talked to myself out of it. It's my own insecurity. It's nothing to do with us or you or your behavior or her behavior. So it's just kind of, we have to recognize that those feelings of maybe not feeling good enough, pretty enough, attractive enough, those are internal and may not be coming from the person we're with. And no matter how much they tell us we're beautiful or smart or they love us, we might still feel that way because it's our feeling. It's not from them.
That must be really kind of hard to it's one thing to recognize. Okay, I think that recognizing it, you know, as we get older, I mean, you know, we're adults. We see things. We you know, shine a light on the, you know, our internal workings, sort of speak. You know, I think that it's not terribly difficult to figure out, you know, if you've been kind of working on yourself
but right.
You know, but that next step going from point A to point B, I find that one, you know, I don't know, that one stumps me. Like, how do you actually, okay, so you see that it's an issue and then, but then, I don't know, that's like that voice right in the back of your head saying, yeah, but that voice wants to convince you otherwise. Because if you have to address yourself, you have to face yourself, that's much harder, right? So how do you actually do that?
It's definitely not easy, but if you really want to, you know, if you find yourself questioning why you've had, you know, multiple relationships that didn't necessarily work out, you know, it doesn't really serve any purpose to look at the other person. It's always best to look in the mirror, because the only thing that you can change in a failed relationship is yourself. So kind of think about, what could I do more, better, or different? Like, we're, none of us are ever going to be perfect in a relationship, but we always have to look the hardest in the mirror. And yes, the other person might have done things wrong, but the relationship's over, so all we can work on is ourselves and our reactions, maybe. But I think it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of constant effort because, you know, we obviously all have our own insecurities or things that we don't necessarily feel great about ourselves. But I think if, you know, you have a partner that's supportive and friends that are supportive and they can help you through those moments, that's great. But ultimately, it is something that people really need to do for themselves, and it's such a gift for yourself.
Right, exactly. All right, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, Sarah, you say all behavior is communication. I want to touch on that. So listeners, stay with us here. More to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
HM Auto Detailing handles entire fleets of vehicles for local businesses, and they're ready to make your car, truck, or SUV shine like new. Do you stare at that spill from when your coffee got away? Are you sad about the bag of groceries that toppled and stained? Maybe the kid's last food fight left war wounds in your vehicle. Or it just might be time for a good cleaning. Get a fresh start with HM Auto Detailing. Same day service, over 10 years experience, they even detail boats and aircraft. Call HM Auto Detailing today, 781-738-3301. 781-738-3301. HM Auto Detailing, 156 Union Street in Rockland.
Tired of looking tired? Noticing the signs of aging? Fine lines, dull skin, or lost volume getting you down? Aliette Aesthetics will help you turn back the clock naturally. Whether it's a lifting and tightening, PDO thread treatment, wrinkle-smoothing neurotoxins, or collagen-boosting PRP therapy, Aliette Aesthetics has the treatments to restore your youthful glow. As someone who's been in your shoes, I trusted Aliette Aesthetics to refresh my look, and now it's your turn. Rediscover radiant, youthful skin, because you deserve to look as vibrant as you feel. Visit Aliette Aesthetics today and start your journey to the best version of you.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
Who is a seasoned social worker with nearly three decades of experience supporting people through trauma loss and relationship challenges. Welcome back, Sarah.
Hi, hello.
So, before the break, I asked you, you had said that all behavior is communication. Can you elaborate on what you mean exactly by that?
Sure. So, I mean, the easiest way to sort of give a concrete example is just literally thinking of a toddler who's unable to really communicate or articulate what their needs might be. So they might just scream or, you know, stomp or throw a fit, that they might be hungry or they might be tired. So those are really simple, basic needs. But as adults or, you know, as we get older in life or even when we're teenagers, all through life, behavior is always communicating something. So if you see someone acting a certain way and it's upsetting, you know, maybe by the way they're speaking to you or what they're doing or what they're not doing, if they won't get out of bed or they won't go to work, that's communication. It's just that it can let you know that they're going through something. Something's wrong, they're emotional, and they might not be able to articulate it or they might not be comfortable articulating it. A lot of times this comes up, you know, a lot in school settings with the way kids behave. You know, it's communicating something. So if you see someone acting a certain way or doing certain things, if you can take a pause and just kind of try to figure out with them why. You know, why? What are you trying to tell me with this behavior or the way that you're acting right now? Mm-hmm. It's undoubtedly something a little deeper.
Right.
It could be going on.
Right. You know, one thing that comes to mind that I mentioned this morning is, sometimes I think people who have the fear of abandonment are quick to leave. Something's wrong, they're out of there, right? And they do that as a way, I really think that's like, I'm going to leave you before you leave me. And,
right.
I've seen that, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. I mean, I think it's fear of loss, too, you know? I mean, if you go through a traumatic loss, that's a huge heartbreak. That's a lot of pain. Mm. So if you can prevent yourself from going through that again by maybe not getting too deep with anyone or leaving before you're left, you know, you feel like you have a little power over it, even if you end up being alone. You know,
what good does that end up doing? Because then you ultimately are... So that's a big deal. That person, to me, would be the person that really... is having trouble working on it. They keep looking back to that other person, that there's something wrong with that other person.
Right.
And again, I love to tell stories. I'm thinking of somebody else that I know, and she was always 1 foot out the door with her boyfriend, always. She seemed like a very, you know, very powerful, you know, sort of high-powered, intelligent, attractive, all these great qualities, but always with, as I said, 1 foot out the door. One mm-hmm. night, she came home, they got in an argument, and he basically said, it's time for you to move out. And, you know, kind of hit her from behind. She had a hard time with that breakup. I mean, a really, really, really hard time with it. She kept her cool in showing that, you know, she wasn't upset, but I mean, I could see. I could just see what was really going on, and it was like, yeah. And but I also saw that in other relationships, and I think that's where boundaries have to come in. I think that, you know, like, again, this morning, you know, Beth and Rob and I, we were talking about people who leave and that you have or want to leave quickly, and that, you know, a good way to deal with it is to be really validating them and to making them feel safe. I think that's all fine and well. I don't know, maybe I'm a little jaded, but to me, I think that's also is a very slippery slope, and I think that you could be crossing a fine line there, because you could get into enabling, and I think that it's, you know, it's a real balancing act. I mean, I do believe that, you know, like Beth said this morning, well, you know, if you know, you talk to this person every night at 8 o'clock, but tonight you're going to be taking a spinning class, so you're not going to be able to talk to this person. Just say, hey, listen, I'm not going to be able to talk tonight till maybe later, or maybe, you know, if I'm too tired when I get home from the gym, we'll talk tomorrow. But just so that there's that constant, you know, letting them know that there's nothing wrong, everything's okay, they continue to feel validated in the relationship. To me, that seems like a big responsibility, and you know, and I'm not, it's one thing. It can be exciting, and that's okay, and I'll do whatever to make it work at the beginning. But over a period of time, I think that would wane on someone. And I also mentioned that, you know, when there are big life changes, that's, I think, when it really shows up. You know, when suddenly there's a lot more, as I said, more work. You know, maybe your job, or now they're married, they have a child, and so that child, you know, all of a sudden, I mentioned that, the friend who lost her dear daughter to death by suicide, and, you know, because of this situation. So I think that's I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that, but to me, that's a real slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can't get into a pattern where you're constantly validating someone, because, again, that's them looking for an external way to their well-being, when if their internal mechanisms for their own well-being aren't working, they're never really going to feel really well. The you know, as much external reinforcement or support or validation as they get, if they don't have that internal you know, wellness, it doesn't really matter how much someone else does for someone. I mean, I think if you talk to someone every night at 8 o'clock and then one night they're not going to be there, it's kind of a courtesy to let someone know.
Yes,
but
right.
Also, if you forget to let someone know, that's okay too, because I think we kind of need to learn to take a step back. Okay, I've talked to this person every single night at 8 o'clock. They're very reliable. They're very trustworthy. So if they haven't called me tonight at 8 o'clock, there must be a good reason.
Right.
So I'm going to wait and hold my reaction until I find out the reason.
Right.
You know, and then maybe have a polite conversation. Well, you know, it's obviously you don't have to call me every night at 8 o'clock, but we were in that routine. So could you just kind of let me know?
Right.
You know, but if
right.
it triggers this whole kind of you left me, you're a jerk, I hate you eating, that's completely unhealthy. You know,
right.
but it's hard to not do that, you know, to get to the point where you can recognize that that person isn't the person who maybe hurt you in the past, or who maybe did blow you off and disappear, or who did leave you after one fight. You know, that new person isn't that old person. So they need to be allowed to be a new person and to get a new chance.
Right. So this morning on Love Bites, I did promise the listeners that we would give them some things not to do with someone who appears to have a fear of abandonment issues. And so what are some things, you know, we talk about enabling, what other things? I mean, well, enabling, I mean, that could be a broad spectrum, right? But what are some things that we shouldn't do?
You definitely shouldn't feed into the insecurity. So in other words, you know, communicating openly and being supportive and being patient and really recognizing someone's feelings is important, but don't feed into their insecurity. Like if someone's insisting on, you know, you telling them where they are all the time, or being with you for a certain amount of days and times, or demanding, you know, this or that, you know, it's really important to kind of not feed into that and to just kind of maybe have a nice conversation and try to find out, why is this so important to them? Why are they asking this of you? You know, and be reliable and dependable and consistent with them and show interest in them, but don't, you know, feed into their kind of demands. And, you know, a lot of it is finding someone you balance with. Some people need, you know, some people's love language is getting a lot of attention, but
right.
it needs to kind of be a balance that you really can't feed into someone's, like, insecurities, especially if they're not at all related to anything that's gone on in your current relationship with them.
But we do draw people into us that we have similarities with, right? Sort of like, and so it's interesting because someone who has a fear of abandonment, it could also end up being like two people who both have a fear of abandonment, right?
Right.
So
right.
that now, again, is another slippery slope because, you know, it can become like all-encompassing, like the whole relationship. It mm-hmm. seems like they can't make a move, you know, kind of without each other. I mean, there's nothing I can't stand more than a friend who only can go out when her husband is not available. Drives
right.
me nuts. I hate yeah. that. Or I should say I hate yeah. it, but it just makes me feel like, really? I'm not,
yeah.
you know? But I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I can do whatever, but it seems to me that it's kind of, it becomes like sort of the symbiotic, you know, or no, that's not the word. I'm looking for. More parasitic. It becomes, seems to me that the relationship has become sort of parasitic, right? That they're like really,
yeah.
Right?
Codependent, yeah.
exactly. Yeah. And but isn't that, so when you think about it, okay, so there's this person who has this fear of abandonment. I think someone who doesn't have that is, I don't know, it's going to seem almost really unfamiliar to that person. And I don't think the relationship is really all that sustainable. Not that I think two people who both have a fear of abandonment, that can work either. So I don't know. So what Rob said this morning on Love Bites is, so if somebody has this, can they really have a healthy relationship? So I thought, that's coming from a guy's point of view, though.
What it all boils down to is how much work a person's willing to do on themselves without expecting other people or something external to kind of help them heal their old hurts. Like, you know, someone, you have to work on yourself. No one can do that for you. So, I mean, a person can definitely have a healthy relationship if they're able to kind of learn to recognize where their fears of abandonment originated, where they came from, and how they might come into play in their present life, even if it's not reality. Like, if you know, a lot of times with people who've been abused, they'll be with someone who's very nice and not abusive, but just being alone in a room with a person can make them, their body feels like it's the same as it was before.
Right.
So they might react in a way as if they're experiencing this abandonment or abuse all over again. So, but people, if people can sort of work on recognizing that if someone really wants to have a healthy relationship and not have all these issues coming up, then they really need to be willing to do a little work. And it doesn't necessarily take a long time if you go to, you know, a certain kind of therapist that can help you develop tools to manage these things on your own, then you can take control of them.
I think I just had like a little fear of abandonment. I was looking through the window and Quinn was gone, my producer, and I panicked. Like, where did he go? It was really kind of funny. I was like, he's gone. He was gone for like a couple minutes. I think he just went to grab his lunch and eat while he's producing over there. But I panicked. Anyway, still ahead. This fear doesn't just show up in love. It follows us into friendships, family, and everyday interactions. So Sarah's going to share what to watch for next. Stay with us here.
Don't touch that dial. More of The Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Now, for more of The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back. And I just want to mention that during our break, we heard from one of our sponsors, Beyond Aesthetics. They have just opened up another location in Mattapoisett. And Tricia was so generous that she donated two Glow 2 facials to her spa. And I know one of them has already had the facial, and she said it was absolutely divine. So I just wanted to let you know that. All right, so we are back, and we are going to talk about that in this last segment with Sarah Divine, who's just been giving us all sorts of knowledge and golden nuggets. This fear of abandonment doesn't just show up in love. It follows up us into friendships, family, and everyday interactions. So, Sarah, what do we watch out for here in those kinds of situations? I had mentioned, remember the person that I had met when I was, the friend that I had met when I was building a home, and it just had a really kind of funky, weird vibe. I felt like sort of closed in on this person. So I think that's something to kind of sit up and take notice. But what are some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely if someone's being really clingy or, you know, like you described, that person was being with you kind of creepy in their interactions, you definitely want to trust your gut feelings. And, you know, depending how long you've known the person or how long you've been friends with them or dating them or how much you're invested in that relationship, you kind of can decide how much you want to try to talk through with them and work on with them. You know, it's always just important to remember that you can't fix someone else's problems, but you can kind of just be there and kind of give them space. You know, if someone's having a lot of anxiety or insecurity, just let them know you're there for them. And, you know, a lot of times, too, it's really good to use statements like I see, use I statements. You know, a lot of times if someone's having a hard time, if you say, you should know how to handle this, or you should know I'm not lying to you, or I'm not going to leave you, you should know this by now. Instead, kind of turn it around and say, you know, I really feel like I'm not being trusted or valued when I'm treated like this, or when you're acting like this, instead of like firing all these you, they're like bullets, you know?
Right.
Just turn it around onto how you're feeling and keep those statements starting with I always feels a lot less threatening to someone who's feeling insecure, anxious.
Right.
And, you know, but it can definitely be really draining to be around someone who's, you know, kind of really needy or insecure. It can really just have a negative effect on all relationships, like you said, friendships and love. So, you know, if someone's always saying they're sorry for everything, or they're always trying to over, if you have a little argument and they're afterwards they're overcompensating and really trying to just, you know, just don't, it's kind of hard, but just kind of try not to feed into those things and just kind of let the person know you're there for them. Open communication is huge. If you can have honest, open talks about emotional security with a person that you care a lot about, that you don't want to let this destroy your relationship or your friendship with them, that can go a long way.
Right.
You know, don't own responsibility for it yourself, but open up a conversation about it.
It's all so, it just seems so difficult, right? So what about families? I think that's an interesting one, because even though we, you know, can come from a family with obviously the same parents, some children can, you know, be, depending on the birth, you know, placement, right? Like maybe that middle child or the older child or the baby. I know in my own family, come from a family of 8 children. I'll tell you what, different personalities, very.
Yes, I'm the oldest of 9, so...
Oh, my gosh, so you know. Yeah, okay, all right. But, yeah, so the older one, see, you know, in some ways it seems like the older one kind of isn't... gets sort of, well, I don't know if I would say unscathed, but, you know, they have more attention, for sure, because they're the first one, right? But then again, it depends on how soon the baby came after, the next one came after that 9. Well, that's a big family. I thought 8 was big. You know, my mother and father would always say, well, we didn't have a TV. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of family dynamics going on there. And you know, you could talk to any one of my siblings, and you might think we grew up with different parents, because, you know, that's where I think kind of people's own genetic kind of makeup or temperament kind of comes into play, because people's trauma is as much about what happened to you as it is about how you perceive, experience, or cope with it. So, you know, my mother may have acted the same exact way to me as she did to my little brother, and he might have experienced it as abusive, where I just thought she was having a bad day. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, you know, some kids come out of the womb with type A personality, and some come out of type B, right? I suppose there's some of that, too. But, you know, it's interesting. I was watching a movie the other night on Netflix, The Better Sister. And I was just thinking how it's funny how both of these kids came from, obviously, the same parents. But their lives were just so different. And, you know, one had so much more of a difficult... of course, I haven't finished watching the series, and it's just kind of gripping. But so I don't know what's going to come of it. But nonetheless, right, it's... there does seem to be... in a family some very different issues. I know, like in my own family, there's a little bit of that, you know, fear of abandonment in some of us, but I think some definitely more than others. And we didn't even mention that I think is important, like the way I've dealt with my own issues in my own life. I really subscribe, as you said, to this idea that you should really, it's how you feel about yourself. That's really important. And I always try to take care of myself. And I'm just not talking about a beautiful facial at Beyond Aesthetics. I'm not talking about, Botox and Alien Aesthetics. I'm not talking about that, but just that my way of self-soothing is to be very creative. I love to be creative, whether it's painting, whether it's doing what I'm doing right now, whatever it might be. I feel that it feeds my soul and it makes me feel good about me. And I think, we didn't talk about self-soothing, but that's a big deal, isn't it? How much time do we have left, Quinn?
It is. Yeah,
we have 5 minutes. Okay.
Right. Oh yeah, you always have to have something for yourself. Always, it's very important to just have something you enjoy, to enjoy your own company.
Exactly.
And something that you enjoy doing that's only yours, and it can only make your relationships with others healthier. I always say it's you, the other, and then the third is the two of you together. You always have to have your own identity, your own hobbies and things you like to do.
I think so.
You don't have to do everything together.
Right. Sarah, so we just have a little bit of time left. What would you like to share with our listeners, whether someone has a fear of abandonment or they're dealing with someone who has a fear of abandonment? What would you want to, what message would you like to give to those listeners?
I think that, people should really just take a pause before reacting and really just be nice and kind and just try to help people through whatever moment they're going through. And also always love yourself.
Like we said, right? Yeah, absolutely.
You have to love yourself or no one else can.
Right. Sarah, with just a little bit of time left too, I do want to ask you, I find this very interesting, what is this mobile counseling? I think that's really kind of fascinating. You hear about mobile dog grooming, you hear about mobile car detailing, but mobile therapy, I don't know. I haven't heard of that one. That's kind of fascinating. Yeah. So tell us more. How much time do we have Okay, we got 3 minutes. Can you tell us in three minutes? Because I want to give you some time with
absolutely.
That, because I think that's interesting.
Yep. Absolutely. So in all my years as a social worker, I've worked with a lot of different people. And over the past couple of years, I've just really kind of identified this gap where we have mobile crisis services. We have in-home family therapy. We have community-based services for people with severe and persistent mental health issues. But there's this big gap for just kind of those everyday kind of people who really would benefit and really need some therapy or some mental health services, but for whatever reason, they just can't physically get to an office. Or, telehealth is always available, but that's not even necessarily effective for all people. So there's really this big gap that a mobile mental health service could really, really fill. And there is one in operation in Tulsa, Oklahoma that I've been in contact with to help me kind of work on developing that service in this area, because it's definitely a big gap and a very significant need.
And do you think you could get a grant for something like that?
Absolutely. Over time, I definitely think there would be able to be some DMH funding for this kind of service, because it's a place I recently spoke with is required to interact with any clients who's been hospitalized for mental health reasons within 48 hours, and their no-show rate is so significant that they have to overschedule their appointments by 30%. So if you were able to bring this service to a person who is struggling with mental health, I would lower the no-show rate probably to almost zero.
That sounds so exciting for you.
Yeah, I have a couple people I'm going to be contacting soon who are working on policies in mental health in this state, and see if they might be able to steer me in the right direction.
Well, Sarah Devine, I really wish you the very best of luck in your new venture, and I'm so thrilled that I had you on with us tonight. You really helped me to understand, and I'm sure our listeners as well. So again, big thank you for being on the show tonight. It's really been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right. We've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. I hope you enjoy the show. If you missed this show, I'm going to be putting it on iTunes so you can listen there. If you miss part of the show. And I will see you next week. Same time, same place. Make it a great week.
levando com aquilo que é teu. Malandro quer levar, malandro quer ficar, ele não quer ir embora, mas ele manda pra fora o bebê. Tá cheio de malandro que fica te ganando, malandro em família, malandro em quadrilha como tem. Agora tá chorando, agora tá chorando, agora tá chorando.